Welcome back to Legacy, a mom podcast. We are all leaving a legacy. Have you thought about yours? I'm Tina. I'm here with Britt. Hi, Britt.
Hi.
How are you doing? It's been a couple weeks.
I know. I'm good. How are you more importantly? That's probably,
well, I think the last two mornings are the first two mornings I woke up not tired.
Yeah.
You ever wake up tired from a good night's sleep? And it's like,
yes.
Yeah, I think all moms of young kids can relate to that. But oh my goodness, what a whirlwind it has been. So we did the retreat, which we're going to talk about in this podcast. But right after the retreat, like immediately after the retreat, we packed up the house and moved 600 miles to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm in Pennsylvania, which is so fun because you can come and see me. And Mark and Tanya are right around the corner, so we can see them. And it's just, it's a whole new life. We're so excited to be here. Like the house that we have is more than we could have imagined.
Yeah.
It was just so neat, the story of how God led us here and the whole thing. Maybe we should do a podcast on it sometime. Talk about crazy following Jesus stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we love it here. We're kind of secluded out in the woods now. It's very peaceful. It's very quiet.
I love that house.
Lots of wildlife, you know, and it's so funny because not only do we love it here, like Zach was here and he loves it here and Mark and Tanya love it here. You love it here. The girls love it here. The boys love it here. It's like, it's just like the perfect house for our family. And that's exactly what I said when I was looking for a home here in Pennsylvania. I'm like, I just need a family home where people can come home to and feel like they're home.
Right.
And it's just so neat that God answered that prayer even more than we could have imagined in that. So, but anyway, let's back up a couple of weeks because honestly, it feels like so long ago because so much has happened since the retreat.
I know.
And talk about the retreat because you got to be there. You did all the table decorations and all that kind of stuff, which you know I appreciate so much because that just takes that off of my plate. And I'm not that really good at it.
Yeah. And I love doing it. It's
I know.
My favorite. I thrive when I can just be by myself with some worship music and decorating, whether it's someone's home, my home, parties, whatever it is. I just like to, like, I don't know. It brings me so much joy to do that.
It does. Just to watch you do that, like when you walked in here to my new house, you like cleared the dining room and you're like, okay, I'm going to decorate your dining room. And by the time you left, like I had a legit dining room that we could sit around the table and have a meal at, which you know how important that is to me. And it was so cool, like just to watch you do your thing. It's like, okay, well, I'm just going to take all the decorations, like four boxes of them, and put them in the closet downstairs. I mean, I have so many because the house that we had in South Carolina was so big. And I've just been putting things in the closet so that you can come and pull things out of the closet and decorate as you want. It's like your own little Hobby Lobby down there.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
So project.
Yeah. And so you started a long time ago leading up to the retreat because you also designed all the t-shirts, all the sweatshirts, the hats that we had and all the things and the table settings and stuff. But, you know, and that stuff really sets the mood, I feel like, for what God wants to do. And it's such an incredible ministry to be able to decorate a place and make it comfortable and a place where people feel at home. And that's what you do. And that is very important. I remember telling one of my girlfriends, she does that. And that's her thing. And I remember her saying, like, I don't feel like I do anything for Jesus. I said, are you kidding me? You make it feel so homey here in these meetings and the conferences or whatever. And that's an important ministry. So those of you out there who are like Britt and enjoy making things look nice, that is an important ministry because it does make a difference, a big difference.
Yeah.
But so this retreat that we did was, I do one every year. It's called the Rest, Refresh, Renew Retreat. We've decided that they're anything but physically restful.
That you don't rest, you actually don't sleep, and you are extremely exhausted by the end, spiritually, emotionally, physically. just completely drains you. Literally took me more than a week to recover from it, but it is so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. It's getting you guys out of your regular routine and together with other moms and into the Bible and giving, equipping you, you know, when you leave there, my job is to make sure you're equipped to go back home and live what you just learned. That's the goal.
I think coming from my perspective, there's a lot of retreats, a lot of conferences, a lot of Christian events like that. And I've done, I did MomCon, and they're it's great. It's fantastic. I think there's just a big difference, and I'm not being biased. No, I'm not. It's just I think I can speak on behalf of other people as well in saying this, that there's a big difference between going to those large retreats, conferences, whatever, and then going to something, you know, one of your retreats, which they are a little bit more small, they're a little smaller, but there's just something about them because it's not just you just go and like listen to speakers talk and then like plow you with information and then you go home and just do the best you can with what you just learned. It just goes so much more beyond that because there's like work to be done. There's work to be had in the spiritual realm. We all come in with our own past, our history, our own baggage. And like every one of these retreats, you walk away actually feeling equipped to deal with the things that you need to deal with or to do the things that you need to do. And it's more than just, you know, additional head knowledge. It's like there's more wisdom and understanding in all. I can't even, it's so hard for me to explain without like actually experiencing it because, you know, we're there for each other. We sit there, we pray with one another. We give each other advice. We listen to you guys speak. And then you guys interact with us, which makes a huge difference. So we get to sit there. And if we have questions, we can just raise our hands and ask questions. And that's also what helps to equip you is you don't just walk away feeling like, okay, well, I have all these questions and like, I'm a little confused about this. And like, what did she mean about that? Like, all of that gets answered and taken care of, and you get prayed over and prayed for, and it makes a massive difference. Like it is, it's so different.
Yeah. I think it comes off more like a workshop than it does a retreat, you know, because there's practicality. It's the practicality that you walk away from. It's like, okay, I can go home and do this now. And you know, and like specifically for this retreat, we did freedom. And one of the things that I loved about the freedom retreat was the practicality of it. And this is, I did this one slightly different than I do. I've done the other ones in that there was teaching, but then during each session, there was time where you guys were in groups of three praying for each other and with each other.
Yeah. And so let's like unpack that a little bit. Cause I think that was, there's so much depth to freedom in and of itself.
Yeah.
And then like how we kind of went through that, I think is amazing. So yeah, freedom by itself. Like I think about how sometimes we don't realize as Christians that we come into our relationship with Christ once we've, you know, accepted him as Lord and Savior of our lives, we have all this baggage. Mm-hmm. We have a past. So we don't just accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and then keep calm, carry on, and kind of just brush off the past. Like, okay, my sins have been forgiven. My slate has been wiped clean. Like, yes, that's true. However, your past choices and your sin have led to bondage, have led to wide open doors for the enemy. Those doors need to be shut. Like there's so much more than just like, okay, now I'm walking with Jesus and I'm doing my best to make good choices. Like it's not, we have to go back. And until you go back through your past and in detail and dig through your past and find those open doors to the enemy in your life and to pray through the stuff that you've participated in, to pray through some of that bondage that you're still in, to pray through past sin, to pray through pride. Like that was a huge topic at the retreat. And we can talk about that in a minute, but you know, until you do that, until you actually go through your past and even, you know, there's emotional stuff that comes with that.
Yeah.
Until you lay that before the Lord and feel those emotions and those feelings and then give that over to Him, like you're still holding on to that. You're now trudging through your relationship with Jesus with the baggage from your past.
Yeah.
Like we got to unpack that and get rid of that. And then you can truly walk in freedom in Christ when you
don't,
like, it's just this like weights that have been lifted. And I think we miss that part of it.
Yeah.
But it's like so important. And that's what the enemy doesn't want. He does not want Christians walking in true freedom in Christ because we become seriously dangerous for the kingdom of darkness when we do.
It's
he does
true.
Not want that. He will blind you to all of your sin, all of your bondage. He will do everything to convince you to not go and work through this stuff. He'll do everything to convince you that you're okay and it's fine. Just brush it off. Just shove it under the rug. He will all of it.
Yeah.
Don't believe it. You got to deal with it.
Well, God wants us to mature. And we can't mature in Him if we're stuck. If we don't even realize. So one of the very first session was, you know, I talked about what it means to be mature and free in Christ and how there are things that we've either participated in or done over our lives that have kept us and are keeping us from growing and maturing. And we do this whole session on counterfeit versus real and how the enemy always wants to counterfeit, or he wants to draw us in. He's very subtle about it. And there's a whole inventory that I walked you guys through. And I said, check off any of these things that you have participated in.
Yeah, wait, I have the book right here. I can just like give you a couple of examples. So you're talking about the spiritual experience inventory?
Yes.
That was the first thing that we did. So things like Ouija board, magic eight ball, telepathy, palm reading, tarot cards, yoga, Enneagram, sage, manifesting, I mean, the list is large.
Yeah.
Going through, like you were saying, keep going.
Yeah. And so there's a bunch of things there, and we don't even realize that these are counterfeits, that these are things that are opening the door to the demonic realm that is actually holding us back from moving forward. So we start there. And I said, I remember saying to you guys, look, you might not feel anything. It might not be an emotional experience for you, but it's good. Like we need to go through this and get this under the blood and claim back that ground, because each step that we did took us to a different level of maturity and a different level of freedom. And I think one of the session, I've been doing this for over 20 years with people, the session that hands down people walk away from going, whoa, okay, now I'm a different person.
I know what you're going to say.
It's the forgiveness, the freedom and forgive. Yeah. And so that particular session, we sit down and we go through what forgiveness is and what forgiveness isn't. And Jane did that session this time, and it was so good. And she shared her personal testimony, and she had this little table set up out front, and she talked about forgiveness and repentance and how, you know, we can choose to forgive people, but if those people haven't repented, then they don't come and sit at the table with us. And I just thought that that was so poignant. But when we broke up, the exercise in that was to make a list of who do you need to forgive? And you know, I mean, you even know if you're listening to this podcast right now, who it is, because the Holy Spirit's already highlighted a person or persons to you. And then breaking up into groups of three, because, and the reason I did it this way is because it says that wherever two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst, and to confess your sins to one another so that what? You can be healed.
Yeah.
And so, as you guys broke up into these groups of three, and Sharon would worship over you, which I thought was just beautiful.
That was so good.
Aaron would play and sing and worship, and I would kind of walk around and be available to anybody who needed any help. And I would sing as well with her, although I can't sing as good as Sharon. But not only that, we had Jane literally on her knees or raising her hands and praying over you guys as the Holy Spirit was bringing you to a place of brokenness in those areas and choosing to forgive some really hard things from your past. And sharing testimony, other people, you know, like Heidi being there and being able to share her testimony of her choosing forgiveness towards people who had abused her and all of these things. And you could just hear the Holy Spirit move throughout that room, and you would hear a sob in this area. And then all of a sudden someone would be sobbing here and there. And you could just, I mean, I have goosebumps talking about it, but just seeing God move in such a poignant way in that session. But God did things in this retreat that we never expected. And
it was crazy.
It was crazy unexpected. And so Saturday afternoon, so we did a session Friday night and two sessions Saturday morning. And then we have a break in the afternoon where you can go canoeing or you can do archery or hang out with your friends. You can even go shopping if you want to. Just a break for you moms, like about 4 or 5 hours. And Sharon and Jane and I were sitting on the porch over by the lodge where we were meeting, and you could hear a storm forming, right? You could just, it was kind of rumbly. It was like, oh yeah, we're going to thunderstorm. And all of a sudden, like the sky opened up like I've never seen before. And it began to rain. The wind was sideways. It began to hail. And like I'm like, oh my gosh, like crazy hail.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's a tornado, because the hail comes before the tornado. And so those of us who were in the lodge, which was only four of us, ran to the bathroom and waited this thing out. It was so loud. And it was so, I mean, and so then after it left, it was very quiet, but it was, there was this fog, and they call it hail fog. And it was just everywhere. It was just very, it was weird. It was sunshiny, but there was this fog everywhere, and it was flooding. Like it rained so hard. It was like flash flooding. The lodge began to flood.
There was no power.
There was no power. It took our power out. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, where is everybody? Because people were canoeing, people were archery. Yeah. I'm like, where, what happened?
Can I just say that we, us, my group in my cabin, us, how many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 of us, count really quick. We went down to the local Walmart, and we were driving back, and we saw the storm like right where we were headed. I mean, we were only, what, 5 minutes down the road? And we were like, wow, that was dark over there. So we get back and we find you. I had gotten you a coffee, gave you a coffee. We went back to our cabin. Literally right after we walked through those cabin doors is when the storm started.
Yeah.
I'm like, had we been like 3 minutes later, if that, we'd have been stuck in this. Not only that, but we found out later that that storm got like way stronger when it got down to that Walmart, specifically to that Walmart area. The hail was the size of baseballs. I'm like, we were almost in that.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a God thing. We literally got back right on time. And we had
no crazy
idea. We were oblivious.
So then I'm trying to call you because I knew you were up at the cabin and I couldn't get you. And then we're trying to call people that were over in the cafeteria area. We couldn't get a hold of them. We're like, oh my gosh, like what happened? I called Rod, and you know, our house was only 10 minutes away. They didn't get anything over there. I'm like, dude, I think we just had a tornado. I can't get a hold of Brittany. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where the girls are. And so he called me back about 10 minutes later. He's like, did you find Britt? And I'm like, yeah, I found her. They were like in the cabin watching out the windows. And I'm like,
we were all
girls. You can tell. You guys, you can tell your you're from Jersey and not from the South. Cause I'm like, when things like that happen, you have to get away from the windows because you just never know when something's going to come flying through a window or a window's going to break. But anyway, so we had this massive storm. Everybody was safe. Everybody was inside. We were all fine. And so here I am trying, I'm like, okay, now what? Right? We have no power.
Yeah.
It's kind of dark in the lodge. So I called, I think it was Heidi. She was up at the up where you guys were at the cabin. I'm like, bring everybody down here. If you can get, cause she had walked up there. Yeah. I said, is it safe to come up there? Cause a tree had come down on one of the other cabins. Thank goodness it wasn't the one you guys were in. And I said, if you got up there safely, can you get everybody back safely? So I got everybody back to the lodge and we just went ahead while it was still light out and did the next two sessions. And yeah. I want to say, like, the poignancy of doing those sessions after that storm had gone through and in the dark and all of these things, like, God just orchestrated all of that. And I just think it took it to a different level.
I was just going to say that because that the session after that storm was the forgiveness session. Mm-hmm. And it was like, there was just something about being in that room where it was quiet and still and kind of dark and then going through and walking through forgiveness. Like, I don't know what it did, but it just, it shifted things. Like it made it, I can't even put words on it. Like I just can't even put words on it. It was just wild. It was so good. Like it was so necessary. I don't know.
God knew. Yeah. I mean, he just orchestrated that whole thing. I never saw that coming. It was crazy. But then that night when we left. Yeah.
Can I just say, going back to the forgiveness thing, on a side note, something that I've noticed when dealing with forgiveness, I think sometimes we all have somebody that we need to forgive, right? And we don't really know exactly how to do that. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we just kind of say, well, it's in the past. I'm following Jesus now. I forgive him. Move on.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a lot of times how we deal with, quote, forgiveness. And we call that forgiving them. But it's so much more than that. And I think a lot of people realize at the retreat too is you have to sit down. You have to revisit those areas, those moments that where you might not be walking in freedom or be healed from because of past hurt. And feel those emotions and allow yourself to go there and allow yourself to just let it, you know, run its course with your feelings and get it all out and get it before the Lord and really going to the Lord and choosing to forgive that person. So like you revisit your moment and then you go to the Lord and it's like, Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so. They owe me nothing. They owe you everything.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving that at the foot of the cross. I'm choosing to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think until you really get to that point of going to the Lord, allowing yourself to feel it, and then forgiving them, really genuinely choosing forgiveness, you don't get to walk in that freedom over it. And that's when sometimes a lot of us have bitterness that seeps in because mm-hmm. that forgiveness has gone unchecked, even though we might think that we've dealt with it, we really haven't. You know, we just kind of brushed it under the rug and called it forgiveness.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to understand what true forgiveness is and really how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because that bitterness, let me tell you, when that creeps in, it's going to seep into every area of your life, whether you realize it or not, and you're going to operate under that bitterness.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect everyone around you. It's going to affect everything that you do. It's going to affect the way that you think, the things that you believe, what you know. It's so toxic and poisonous. And that's an area where the enemy too really wants you to hold on to is that bitterness. He loves that because he knows how toxic.
Yeah. Maybe we need to do a podcast on that and really unpack what true forgiveness is. But the one thing I will say in that is until it reaches the emotional core, it's incomplete. And that's the difference. Yeah. People were handling it through the emotional core.
Yeah.
And that's where they've found freedom. And that's what, you know, let's do that on the next podcast. Let's talk about that forgiveness thing and let's share some testimonies. Cause I've gotten some testimonies from the girls that have walked through this that are walking in freedom now. And it's amazing the stories I'm hearing.
It's incredible. And, you know, in addition to that, even in my own life, after you've gone back and revisited your past and dealt with forgiveness there, I feel like you recognize it a lot quicker. And not that it's always necessarily easy to forgive every instance after that, but it definitely does become, for me, it became a little easier. So like when somebody does hurt me, I don't just, even if it's so small. See, that's the thing is that I think sometimes we look at things and we're like, oh, well, that hurt my feelings, but it's not a big deal. But like it is, because if your feelings are hurt, then bitterness, it allows for bitterness to grow, right? So in any time that I feel any hurt from anyone, because I know how toxic bitterness is and I don't want any part of it, I immediately go before the Lord and say, you know what? I choose to forgive them. This really hurt me, God. Like, I am so unhappy about this. Like, not cool. But I'm going to choose to forgive them. They owe me nothing, and walk away from that. And it's now become like a habit. So like somebody really wounds me, or even if it's just, you know, wounds me a little bit, like I just jump on the forgiveness train because I know the importance of it. And I know how much freedom is on the other side of that.
Yeah, it's so important.
But just, there was so much good stuff that came out of this retreat. I also want to add that speaking about the breaking up into groups of three, I thought that was so good, because not only did we, and I know in my group specifically, I'm not going into detail, obviously, but like for us, not only did we sit and go through what we were supposed to go through within the Steps to Freedom book, but that led to conversations into other areas that weren't on the list that needed to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. And so then we were able to sit down, us three, and pray over each other and pray each other through other things that weren't even a part of what we were doing that now they're walking in freedom over. And that's so cool. It's there's so much more to it. Like there's just so much that happens that it's so good.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned, because we are going to do another rest, refresh, renew retreat for 2025. And I'm not really sure where that's going to be, although it's probably going to be in the Pennsylvania area where I live. And the topic is going to be stand.
And I just have to just say something else, but I want to say something else, because I think sometimes people get like really nervous about being so vulnerable with each other.
Oh, yeah.
But let me tell you, there is so much healing on the other side of that. And it's so good. And like the enemy wants you to think that you're the only one walking through whatever you're going through. Oh, no, no, no. Once you all start talking, you start realizing like we're all have walked through a lot of the same. Even if it's something like really dark or like, I don't want to share this because it's like really bad. But it's like, oh, no, girl, I was there. I walked through that. And like it brings you to like another level of friendship with
it
these
does.
People.
That, it
like,
does.
It's unmatched, that mm-hmm. level of friendship. And it's so good. And like you can lean on each other, and it builds such a solid community.
Anyways, yeah, I love that. No, I love that. I love that so much, because when God showed me this was my seventh retreat. And when God showed me this 7 years ago, it was about building communities and building relationship and equipping women to go and not only walk free themselves, but to walk other people through to freedom. And that's exactly what you're talking about. So can you pray for us today?
Yes. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for this freedom retreat and for all that you did there, all that you did in us and through us, for the lives that have been changed and turned around. Lord, I just thank you for the freedom that you give us. And I pray, Lord God, that every single listener here would choose to walk through freedom in their own lives, to dig out the baggage that they have from their past and to give that to you and to walk in true freedom in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.